This morning is week 52 of these very different services. That's a whole year of services. It's a year almost since this guy made his appearance, first of all, and caused such drama whenever he disappeared from screen and the hashtag bring back Kermit cry went out. A lot has happened in that year. You look back and there was all that panic about getting toilet rolls, and I still don't understand why we were so worried about toilet rolls. But obviously this year has contained much more important, much more heartbreaking things. It has been a difficult year for all of us, but for many it has been exceptionally difficult. They've been through heartbreaking times. They've been through struggles with health, with finance, with loss of loved ones. There have been so many challenges during this past year. And yet, having spoken to people who look back, so many say, but we can see God at work in that. So many say, I just don't know how I would have got through that time if God had not been there. It's a bit like that verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7, where Samuel simply says, thus far the Lord has helped us. So far God has been with us. And as we look back in different ways, we can see that God has helped us through those times. And not only should that give us a spirit of thankfulness, but it should also give us confidence as we look forward into the future, because God is unchanging in his enduring love for us. God is unchanging in his care for us. And we look to the future and we wonder, what will things be like? When will things begin to open up a bit again? When will things be anything like normal? And we wonder, we long to have a timetable. There's something about us that we just love to, well, as people say, have all our ducks in a row, that we could see what was going to happen when, and we would move forward. Now, I think like most people, I'm cautiously optimistic that things are beginning to change, but we are definitely not out of the woods yet. The passage which Alex read for us this morning has this constant refrain of watch, be on your guard, be alert, be careful. And those words really do apply to our situation at the moment also. It would be so easy to move forward too quickly, to move forward in a perhaps a thoughtless way, and end up moving backwards. And so with cautious optimism, we look to the future. The Stormont Executive and PCI are hopefully this week going to make announcements as to what we can do around Easter. And it would be lovely if we could have our Easter services back in the building. And we've begun to think about that. We would hope, if we have the permission, we hope that we would be able to have our Good Friday communion and also two services on Easter Sunday, one at 10:30 in the morning and another one at 6:30 in the evening. But again, that's dependent on having the permission to go ahead with those. But we want to plan towards that. So if you would be interested in coming to any of those services, the Friday evening communion or the Easter morning or Easter evening service on the Sunday, then can you please let the church office know so that we have a rough idea of numbers that would consider coming to that. And then hopefully within the next few days, we will have a better idea as to what we are able to do over Easter weekend. Again, even if we are back in the building, we will still have the social distancing in place. There will still be reduced numbers in the building. We will still be required to wear masks if we're sitting close to each other. All those things will still be in place. But again, I think the phrase cautiously optimistic applies to all of that. But if you are thinking that if the building is open, you would love to be here for our Easter celebrations, then please do get in touch with the office and let us know about that. As I've said, this passage from Mark chapter 13 is just littered with phrases like watch out, be on your guard, be alert. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They've just walked past the temple, and one of the disciples looks at the beauty of the temple, the size of the stones, and says, Jesus, isn't this magnificent? And Jesus says, well, yes, it is, but this will crumble. This will not last. And he begins to talk to his disciples about the end of the time, at the end of the age. Something that we don't particularly like to think about in many ways. But Jesus says there are signs that time is coming. There are things that you will see that will help you to understand that time is coming. Interesting. We talked a little bit about a fig tree last week. Jesus again used the fig tree as an illustration and says, well, when you see the buds starting to appear in the fig tree, you know summer is coming. And as we walk around the beauty of this place, you can see those buds, you can see the birds nesting, you can see daffodils coming into bloom, you can see all those things, which are a sign that spring is coming. Why do we have those things? Well, they're not so that it would create for us a timetable. Jesus is not saying, here are the things that are going to happen, and here's a timetable, and so you can work out when that time will be. That's not what Jesus is saying. Perhaps that would be more of a hindrance to us, because we would just spend our time trying to make sure we have everything right in time and place. And Jesus calls us instead to faith. Calls us instead to trust him. When Jesus first came into this world, it was quiet. He lived the life of a humble servant of God. He died on the cross. But during his life on earth, he promised that he would return at the end of the age, and return this time in power and glory for all to see. Many people ignored Jesus the first time. Life just went on around him. But when he returns, no one will be able to ignore him. Verse 26 of this chapter 13 of Mark simply says, at that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. You won't be able to miss him. You won't be able to ignore him. And for many, it will be a time of grief, because it will be a day of judgment. But for those who believe, for those who have put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, it will be that moment of final salvation and a time of rejoicing. But no one knows when that will be. Listen to what Jesus says in this passage. No one knows about that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus is saying, I don't know when this is going to happen, but only the Father. So what do we do? Jesus says, be on your guard, be alert. And he does give those signs. He says the gospel will be preached in all the nations. Sin will increase. Worship will be offered to false gods. But again, those things are not given to us to try and work out exactly when that day will be. Down through the ages, people have put so much effort and time into trying to work out the exact date when Jesus will come back. And down through the ages, people have been bitterly disappointed. Again, that lovely phrase from Tony Campolo, the American pastor and sociologist who who talks about this time when Jesus will return and says that he was not called to be on the organizing committee. He was called to be in the welcoming committee. But there's something about us would love to do the organizing. We'd love to work out exactly when Jesus will come back. We look at things happening around us and we say, oh, well, there's one tick, tick, tick. Jesus must be coming back. And yes, he is. But no one knows the day or the hour. No one can calculate when he will come. And Jesus says it's like a man leaving his house to go traveling. He puts his servants in charge and they keep watch. They don't know when the man will come back again. But their job is to keep watch. Their job is to be ready for him when he does come back. And Jesus warns, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And so we live in faith-filled hope. It's difficult. All of us, I'm sure, have got to the stage over this past year when we just want to curl up on a ball. When we just feel we can't take any more. And yet our call is to live with that faith-filled hope. To look forward with that hope that is ours in Jesus. It's not just being optimistic. It's not just being someone whose glass is always half full. It is being sure and certain in Jesus. And that's a very different thing. As Christians, we need always to be ready for Jesus to return. Because he will. Jesus has promised that he will come again. And Jesus not only makes promises, he's the one who keeps them. Jesus will return. And the question is, will we be ready for that? Will we be those who are watching and waiting, those who are alert? Will it be a day of joy or a day of grief? And that being ready starts when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, when we accept Jesus as Savior, when we step into that faith-filled hope in relationship with him. It may be in the middle of a pandemic where we have realized that we're not in control. We can't sort things out for the future. It's a lesson that we should never forget, because we've been used to thinking we control things. We manage the future. If we learn nothing else in these difficult days, let us learn that God is sovereign and we are not. And we're called to trust in him. Being ready starts with trusting him in a pandemic and on that day. And if you have not already done that, taken that step, then there is that sense of urgency all through the Bible that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There is that implicit warning that there will not always be the opportunity to seek him. The Bible says, today is the day, now is the hour. Not some other time down the line when we think it might be easier, more appropriate, when we might have more time, when things might be better. Now is the time. This is the day. Now is the hour. Seek the Lord while he may be found, so that on that day we will be joyful. In the meantime, may God grant us the grace to be those who watch, those who are on guard, those who are alert, not just for his coming, but for every way that we can be his servants as we wait. For every way that we can serve him as we serve each other. whether it's through the food trolley, whether it's through all of those little acts of kindness that I know go on all around us, whether it's through supporting our friends in Eswatini, whether it's through simply explaining the good news of Jesus Christ to someone. May God grant us the grace to live in that faith-filled hope that keeps us watching, that keeps us ready, that keeps us alert. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have placed us where we are at this time, not by accident, not that you made a mistake, but so that you could be sovereign over our lives. And so, Lord, we bow the knee this morning before you. And whatever it means for us, we acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, not just out there, but Lord and Savior of our own lives. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.